Hello everyone, we're reading from the booklet, Zohar for All, section Noah, article In God Bless Noah, item Reshman Chet. You can download the booklet from kav.co.il. You can also ask questions on that website, kav.co.il, and relevant questions will be aired. So, reading from Zohar for All, article in God Bless Noah, page 40. We have a lot of new friends here, and viewers are watching us. I want to say a few words. The wisdom of Kabbalah reveals a new world to us, a world that is wider than our world. Our world is considered just a grain of sand with respect to in that reality. They say that our world is a grain of sand with respect to the spiritual world. And how do we come to feel that spiritual world, living it and experiencing it? So we're told, exactly like in this world, when a baby is born, he doesn't know anything. No senses are working in him. Rather, gradually, he becomes impressed by this world, starts hearing sounds, seeing things, takes him time to discern and distinguish colors, sounds, what's hot, what's cold. He needs to learn everything. And at the beginning, just activate his senses. Afterwards, he has more and more discernment in each sense. And a more evolved person is measured by the amount of discernment that he has. For instance, a musician feels many observations and discernments in music, and a painter feels the same with colors. Or a person who is a linguist, every word for him is an ocean. So, we see that we acquire all of that in a way that we are simply in a reality, and that reality becomes gradually revealed to us. It influences us, it progresses us, and builds us to feel it, to feel that reality. And this is true with respect to our corporeal reality, this world, and it's also true, the exact same steps and stages and laws apply to our development in the spiritual world. So there's a special book that takes us to this feeling of the spiritual world gradually, to experience it, and we're already in it, really. We're in both worlds. One of them is revealed, the other is hidden. And in order to make the hidden revealed, we have to be in it like a baby and awaken its influence over us and ourselves towards it and start feeling it. And this is done by a very special composition that is very known in the world, the Book of Zohar. It's a unique composition that was put together by a great group of Kabbalists that there is no second to until this day. And they gave us some sort of a transition from feeling and understanding of this world to feeling and understanding of the wider hidden world. If we delve into what they wrote and we try to be in the same state they were, meaning connected like they were, those 10 sages of the Zohar, the students of Rabbi Shimon, so like with a baby, it takes time until he starts growing up and discerning things. But still, we begin to feel it, even without any explanation. When we start reading the Zohar itself, we feel that some inner emotions awaken, senses, influences, something happens inside. We can't label it clearly. but something is happening. And then out of the fog, out of the darkness and uncertainty, vagueness, we gradually come to know something new, like a new sphere, a new world, that what was hidden becomes gradually revealed. So, although we call it studying the Zohar, there's really not much to study here. It's more trying to be inspired by what the Zohar tells us, trying to open our hearts with big eyes and wide open mouth, like a baby who looks at the world and wants to get to know it, to understand it. That is how we should relate to what the Zohar writes. And if it is accompanied by the connection between us, by the desire to reveal the spiritual world, a world of bestowal, a world of love, connection, oneness, and one force, one soul, as one man in one heart, then we will obviously succeed. Besides that, during the reading, we will provide a few more commentaries here and there, and things that will help us hold on to the text a little bit more, a little bit better. Just like when an adult plays with a baby, he provides him with some discernments by which the baby develops. So, let's begin, and we'll see how this thing happens to us and how we go through this experience with this special book. Page 40, Zohar for All, and God Bless Noach. Item Resh Memchet. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. The blessing of the Lord is the divinity which was appointed to the blessings of the world, and from it emerge the blessings to all. The Shekhinah divinity is called the gathering of all the souls. It's the inclusive soul that is influenced from above by the upper light, or Zeranpin, and it bestows upon all the souls, influences all the souls that are downwards to her. So what it contains and what she gives later is called a blessing. Resh Mem Tet. And the Lord said unto Noah, come you and all your house into the ark. Meaning the upper force, the creator, addresses the person. The entire world is within the person. So one of our qualities, and that quality exists in each and every one, is called Noach. It is the quality of bestowal, the quality of love, that where a person wants to transcend his ego. So the upper force addresses that and wants to raise that quality higher. How does he do that? He tells him, come to the ark. What does that mean? At the entrance to the ark, it is written, and the Lord said, Havaya, which is Zeranpin. And in the exit, it is said, and God said, which is the Nukva of Zeranpin. As they said, the host, which is Zeranpin, gave Noah the permission to enter the ark. The ark is the quality of bestowal, the quality of Bina, where if a person with the quality of Noah enters that quality, then he feels that nothing can harm him there. What can't harm him? His other qualities, which are not like that Noah. All the other qualities are egoistic qualities of him that may harm him in terms of spiritual development. So he wants to separate that quality of Noah and advance with it. And what happens to the other qualities? They should be left alone in the meantime, or hidden, or restricted. Later, the woman, Nukva of Zeranpin, tells him to leave. He enters, in the beginning, with the permission of the husband, Zeranpin. And at the end, he leaves by the permission of the woman, the nukva of Zalampin. These are basically two forces working on man, the force of Zalampin and the force of nukva, one from the side of judgment, the other from the side of mercy, and they work like two reins advancing us towards the goal. From here, we learned that the host shall let the guest into his house, and the woman shall let him out. As it is written, "And God said unto Noah, Go forth from the ark." When it is written Elohim, God, it refers to the force of Gvura, because she had the permission to take the guest out and not to let him in. We need to understand that these two forces, although they seem opposite, contradicting, they both work to advance us. We cannot advance only by the pulling force. There also has to be a pushing force. And by these two reins, we're always in the middle of these two reins. And if we understand that they are both working for the better, and if we balance the right force with the left force and vice versa, then we build ourselves in a way that we include both in that middle line. What imagination does the guest have here and the owner of the hostel? When a person is considered a home dweller in perfection, the word home implies the nukva of Zeranpin, which shines in the mochin of Gal. As it is written, "With wisdom is a house built." Therefore, those who receive from her are discerned as home dwellers. However, when a person requires corrections, since he is not in perfection, he needs a guard so that the externals will not grab him and make him sin. If he has a light of Chokhmah, if he is in a state, in a situation where the light of Chokhmah governs him, then he obviously needs great guard, great corrections, because the light of Chokhmah is pleasure. So all the desires in him awaken to receive that fulfillment, and then he needs a guard against his ego, against his desires. Say, like, guard so that he won't rob himself of the spiritual degree. And how can he guard himself? Therefore, he must leave the home where the Chokhmah is, that area, because he is forbidden to receive those exalted high mochin from the fear that the externals will suck from him. A person identifies with that quality of bestowal. In that quality of bestowal, the quality of chasadim, mercy, he has the light of chokhmah, which fulfills those desires of bestowal, but besides that, he has desires of reception too. So he's afraid that those desires of reception will awaken and begin to grab hold on to the light of chokhmah, to the pleasure that exists in the desires of bestowal of the light of chasadim. So then he must leave that state where the light of chokhmah fulfills the light of chasadim, and that is called leaving the home, exiting the home. Because if he exits the home, then he is on that level only from the side of its chasadim, whereas his other desires, his uncorrected forces, egoistic desires that don't have yet an intention of bestowal, when they draw the light of Chokhmah for themselves, that is called from above downwards, then he loses the entire level and he falls and becomes like those wicked. And this is called the waters of the flood coming and drowning him. So, leaving the home or the house now is a great correction, and by that he strengthens too. He receives an additional masach screen that allows him to be in next time. So that exit is like it is written, by the exit the Torah emerge, meaning by the exit he acquires the masach, the screens, because he does that action on his own. He acquires the masachim, the force to overcome, so that next time he'll be able to be in and remain with the light of Chokhmah.
And you must depart on the way of the Creator and to receive the corrections that he needs. At that time, he is permitted to receive Mochin by way of Zivug, Zeranpin, and Leah, because since they are considered O Chasadim, Light of Mercy, that's covered from Chokhmah, from wisdom, no suction to the external ones emits from them. We studied that in the Torah. We also studied in Kabbalah that the Creator is called Patsuf Zeranpin in the world of Atzilut, containing two couples. One couple is Israel and Leah. That's the one in Gadlut. And the other, one in Katnut, is called Yaakov and Rachel. So with a couple in Gadlut, Israel and Leah, only Or de Chasadim governs, Light of Chasadim. But with a couple in Katnut, they're above the Light of Chokhmah. But with a couple in Katnut, Yaakov and Leah, there is O Chokhmah. So it may seem not common sense, but to go to a higher degree means going out of the house that has Chokhmah and into a level that doesn't have Chokhmah, where there's only Light of Chasadim, which is called Zivug of Zeranpin or Israel and Leah. The person who rises to that degree is guaranteed that he will not lose his spiritual degree and nothing can harm him. What can harm a person who discovers the spiritual world feels that man is a small world and everything we see is in us, in our perception or sensation. Even this world, as much as it seems to us that it's outside of us, it's truly inside of us, as Kabbalists tell us. So the Zohar explains it. That we're only imagining this world as being outside of us. And a person who begins to acquire the spiritual sensation begins to feel that all these phenomena, these observations are all in him. As it is written, man is a small world, including this world, which we feel as so clearly being outside of me, with all the still vegetative, animate, and humans. The stars, how can that be in me? Where can it fit inside of me? But in the end, I see and feel these things inside of me. And as much as it seems to us like it exists on the outside, it's the great illusion. Even scientists are now beginning to think in that direction. And Zohar explained it thousands of years ago, that this is how it is. And it becomes clear to us, especially when we enter the spiritual sensation. We begin to feel that it's all happening inside of me, not on the outside. And for this reason, these observations, including Creator, Creature, Leah, Rachel, Israel, Yaakov, etc., etc. Demons, ghosts, angels, all kinds of forces and powers, everything that the Zohar and Torah describe, including us. Because who are we and who are these worlds? What are these worlds that we can imagine? They're all sensed only within us. So when we learn what the Zohar writes, we have to try to feel it all within us. Each of us inside of us, ourselves. Outside of me, there is nothing. The friends I'm studying with, the television that's showing me that, that there is a Zohar lesson, it's all in the end inside of me. It's very strange. It's highly unorthodox. But when a baby is born and senses this world, it's also very strange what's happening here. He's not used to anything that's happening in this world. And he's studying it from scratch. So we too are like that. And I would say that with respect to the spiritual world, we actually have reshimot, recollections. We have discernments. It's as if we are going back to a place that we already visited because we came down from there. And in our world, we constantly are renewed. We come into a new world. The world is developing with technology and everything around us. But in the spiritual world, we come into a world that we already visited, that we have memories of it, recollections, impressions. We just have to reawaken them. So in that respect, the way back, to some extent, is easier and more comfortable. So the Zohar, through its stories, when it explains things, it actually accompanies us and pulls us and admits us, lets us into sensations of the spiritual world, where although we're not there, by reading, we begin to awaken what is in us. The reshimot, the recollections, the way we've already gone from above downwards, because we already went through these stages, through this whole path. We're just going back from our world back up. Yes. Continuing, column B, paragraph these mochin. Meaning this light of wisdom. So this mochin is called achsanya, hostel. Because they are intended for passers-by, travelers on the way. A person who advances every step of the way, he receives more fulfillments, and these are called hostels. Therefore, even though Noah was righteous and whole, entirely in chasadim, well said, still, he compares him to a traveling guest. He's advancing. We want this quality in us to advance more and more. Because during the flood, when the saboteur was given permission to destroy, these are corrections that want to distinguish this pretty feeble quality that's now being created in me called Noah, as opposed to all the egoistic desires that hinder my progress. Now I have to get rid of them in order to advance with the Noah in me. That's why this destructor, this saboteur, comes to destroy all of my egoistic desires, so that my Noah will advance. So he too needed guarding from him, from the saboteur. And hence he was forbidden to receive mochin in the form of house, opposite to draw light of wisdom into light of mercy, but by way of a hostel that's guarded from the external ones, the travelers. These mochin of the hostel are ascribed to Zeranpin, called Havaya, in English, Lord, because they extend from Chagat, which is Zeranpin. In other words, he went in there, he hid there in those chasadim, mercy, called the hidden world, also called Leah, as we learn, and he hides there for now. But mochin, with respect to the house, are ascribed only to the nukva, called Elohim, God. Because the mochin de chokhmah, light of wisdom, is not revealed at any degree in Atzilut, but only in the nukva. It's last degree. And it becomes clear why, when he came into the ark, it said the name Havaya, Lord, and not God, Elohim. In other words, it's the name of Rachamim, mercy, and not Din, judgment. And when he departed, the name God, meaning judgment, I've said. Because the ark is like a hostel. Hence, when he was told, come you and all your house into the ark, so that it will be turned into his home, which is Aleph Bet in Yosher, direct, and be considered an ark, which is Aleph Bet in advance, which is considered Mochin of hostel, ascribed to Zaanpin, called Havaya. Hence it is said, Havaya, Havaya is the Lord. So we've got ten sefirot of direct light, ten sefirot of reflected light. It's not really clear, but over time as we read, we'll learn these discernments. Actually, it's not that essential. We're going back to the baby example. It sees a lot of things. They're new every time. It doesn't know what for, why. But instinctively and very straightforwardly, without knowing what, in this natural way, it gets to know them. That's how we should be. Not be afraid of going into things we don't understand, that we don't know how they connect. We just listen, we touch them, we want to know them. And that's the only way to know the world, both our world and the spiritual world. So don't worry. Yes. This is the meaning of the husband, Zeranpin, letting the guest into the hostel, because from him extend the mochin, the lights. But to let him out from the ark and bring him into the home, to the mochin de gal, which are only in the possession of the nukva, female, hence the nukva, called God, Elohim, should let him out to give him the mochin of bait, house, or home. Hence it is said the name Elohim, God, during the letting out, as it is written, and God spoke unto Noah, saying, go forth from the ark. And so it is with the letting out of the guest from the hostel to the house. Afterwards, when we read the Torah and other books, we will see these precisions and where they come from. Once this name, that sentence, that build up, it'll become more accurate discernment, what it's about, why it's like that, what force acts, why a person is approached in this way, and why at a certain degree it's Moses or Yaakov or Abraham or Moses or etc. Because the Zohar and Kabbalah in general turns up to all these forces that exist in us, and then we gradually begin to know our qualities. And as long as they still evolve, at the same time, we can work with them, get along with them, use them. Because the measure of livelihood, measure of life, vitality, of a person in the spiritual world is measured by his knowing ability, capability over there. And what we know and what we feel is our measure of vitality, our measure of consciousness, our measure of existence. And thus we will advance. And what we're now beginning to discuss now with you is about the beginning of the development of the soul. What does it mean that we feel the spiritual world? Who is feeling it? It is that same sense which will later be called a soul. For now, it doesn't exist in us. But out of the point, we want to open it and to feel Noah, Leah, God, Havaya, the Ark, the house, Mochin, all kinds of names. We don't know anything yet. It's just like a newborn baby. that's now, that's born now. It knows nothing. Now it needs to know the world. So it begins to activate as much as it can. Its senses, for now, we don't even see that it's operating itself, that it wants to know anything. It's as if it's closed inside and only we take care of it. Then it becomes more and more responsive, and so on. So in the spiritual world, we evolve not like the way a body in our world grows out of an infant. The soul evolves out of a point, the point of desire that exists in us, where with this point we read the Zohar. When we do that, through that study, through that reading, we absorb all kinds of impressions, and from all those, that point develops, inflates, swells, and in that sphere, when it swells up to a certain measure, we will begin to feel the spiritual world. Yes.
And we shouldn't question this, though there are many levels in the meantime that can be received from Zeranpin too, because what's in question is the one who already attained Mochin of Bait, of the house, like Noah. However, he left it to the hostel because of some reason. And therefore, of course, in the very moment when the reason does no longer apply and he leaves the hostel, he returns to the home right away. And that depends on the permission of the Nukva alone. This means that if a person guards himself to only advance towards the spiritual, then either the force of Havaya or Elohim works on him, these two reins, right and left, Rachamim and Din, judgment and mercy, they both influence him and he advances. Whether he lives or gets in to the hostel or the house, it doesn't matter. Later he understands these discernments and what's going on. These discernments are also good and bad, seemingly, but he needs those various impressions, because we can only feel from the light and darkness and develop our understanding and our senses by that. This is how it happens with us. So what's important is just to make sure you guard your advancement. Any questions? Yes, Leo? What process do we exactly go through in that state called Ark? How do you exactly enter it and how do you get out of it? I wouldn't explain this specifically right now. I'll tell you why. First of all, again, describe yourself as a baby. Do we need to explain to a baby what's happening to it, what do we prepare for it, how do we take care of it, and so on? No. Rather, as much as it can absorb and perceive naturally with its innocent, pure desire, that is the most natural thing. And if you start inflating him with things that are beyond his capability, then you're ruining him. You're bringing it to a state where it's called, how to put it, one cannot be shown more than he can take. You know, it's like a fruit that is immature for him yet, or he is immature for the fruit. So that's why we are very cautious in teaching a person. In general, the wisdom of Kabbalah is built that way. You see, we're reading, and it can he tell us a lot of things that may be far away from me. I'm down below, and I have to go up to the spiritual level to see the whole extent of things. But he tells me freely about this or that world. I can read the Noah section of the Zohar. I can take a part from the middle or the part apart from the end. The Zohar in general is a commentary on the Pentateuch, on the Torah, the Bible. So what determines how much I get out of it? Maybe I should start from the exact beginning of Genesis and then advance word by word and so on. Not necessarily. There's nothing to be studied later or earlier or beginning or end. You just start being impressed by it, inspired by it, and it works. That is on behalf of the individual. But on behalf of the teacher, he should relate to the student in a very cautious way. Like Rambam writes, to small ones, we have to reveal it gradually until they gain additional wisdom, and then we reveal to them more until they become worthy of what's called the secrets, and then we can open the really exalted things to them, things that belong to the providence, the guidance, and so on. But this is on the condition that a person can use it right for himself, for his advancement, so that these things will not confuse him or hinder him. So there is some sort of a guard from above in this study, and also how a person perceives it from below, and how the teacher kind of fixes the right dosage for the students in general. That's what he gives. So, like, with respect to what you said, going on into all those details is not really necessary. You don't need it for your advancement, too. What's important here is only one thing. Can I do the next step? Does this help me for the next step? That's how we decide. You see, the ark here is an example. I want to advance with a quality called Noah. All the rest of my qualities are destroyed. That's it. Everything disappears in the flood. And Noah within me is saved and he advances. And later, after the flood, then we start reviving those qualities. It's called the revival of the dead, and we begin to work with them, with the ego. But that's when Noah is strong, when he turns into Abraham, and he can already use the evil in order to advance towards good. Yes, Benzi. We have a viewer from Tiberia. He's asking, why is Elohim called Nukva? Elohim refers to the force of Bina. Bina is the upper Gvua, which is the root of Nukva. Nukva is called the lower Nukva. The higher He and the lower He in the name of Havaya. That is why Elohim is Nukva. The source of Elohim is the Bina, the upper Ima, which is Nukva. There's another question. Why did Rashbi need the extra 9 Kabbalists if they are in him anyway? Well, yes and no. We need to realize that on the one hand, one attaches all the others to himself, and he attains that by loving them, by being in love of others, what's called love thy friend as thyself. He connects all those souls to himself and works with them as his own kli. So then he receives through that kli he's connected with, that vessel. For instance, Rashbi with his students, he's connected to the original 10 sefirot. They were 10 people. And there he can receive, reveal the entire upper light by the love of others that they share. And what they attain is nevertheless called an individual redemption, meaning that not all the people of the world attain that, only he attained that by connecting them to himself. But it's not that each of them did the same action. If each of them does the same action and connects all the souls to himself, meaning all the 7 billion people, if each connects to himself all the other souls besides himself to himself, that will be called a complete redemption. In the meantime, there's a private redemption. That's one thing. So Rashbi had to connect with other nine people. He was the Keter, and all the rest were Chesed, Bina, Gvuah, Tiferet, Netzachot, Yesod, Malchut. In that way, they constitute, form the 10 Sfirot. And this way, each, through his individual correction, rising to the world of Ein Sof, through the connection between them, they can reveal the Malchut of Ein Sof in their private redemption. At some point, we'll talk about what's called the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th millennium. So they attained the maximum that can be attained besides the complete redemption, which only we in our generation can do. And this is why the Book of Zohar was hidden from their time to ours. Yes. We also spoke about two forces working, Din and Rachamim, judgment and mercy. What is that? We know that there's none else besides him. There is one force. It's true that there is none else besides him, but we learn that the Creator is called there's none else besides him. But towards who? Towards us. We say that there is none else besides him, and we are already someone else, right? So there is someone else besides him. There's already two, me and him, right? Okay, so I distinguish these two, right? How can I distinguish these two? If there are two, then I feel both within me, meaning I feel myself and I feel him. So within me, I distinguish between two forces called Rachamim and Din. The Rachamim, the mercy, is when it comes from him directly to me, and Din, judgment, is when it comes from him indirectly to me. So judgment means that he activates my nature, my desire, and mercy means that he influences me directly. So we explain it as two lines called left and right, and we have to understand that we need to consolidate these two influences into a middle line, meaning to use both the positive and the negative equally, correctly, to do the right combination, the right integration, incorporation of one with each other, and advance each time in a way that there is no good and there is no bad. They are both in order for me to grow on top of them, to use the bestowing force and the receiving force together and achieve the level of the Creator. Adam, man, is called Adam because he needs to become, as it says, Edame, to become similar to the Creator. Elman from Philadelphia wants to know whether he should repeat what we're reading during the day a few times or throughout the week, and will it help him draw more light? I can only say one thing. The Zohar is special. It is unique. It's not something you learn through your mind, and the emotion is also, in the meantime, you know, how can you feel it? How can you resemble it? So I would recommend that if a person has time, he can just read. Simply read it. Yeah. Yes, but it obviously depends on the amount of material he goes through. You know, it's like a baby. If you don't take care of it and teach it and grow it, bring it up and develop it, then so it depends on the amount of time, hours that a person invests in the Zohar. It is written in all the Kabbalah writings that about the Zohar that a person who wants to feel the spiritual world has to be immersed in that day and night, because you are facing the very gate here and waiting for it to open up, and you begin to feel before the gate opens up that you're being prepared for it. Well, let's move on a little more.
Item Rishnun. Since he came out of the ark, he gave her presents. He sacrificed an offering, a sacrifice, because she is in the house, and the house is in her hands. Meaning the mochin of the house are only in the hands of Nukva. The sacrifice in Hebrew comes from the word close, or moving closer. How can I come closer to the Creator, to resemble Him, to be in that place, in that state, in that status? It's the purpose of creation. Return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God. Unto the Lord your God. You really have to reach being like Him, eternal, perfect in every way. How? Through sacrifices. What are sacrifices? When we correct the evil in us and turn it into good. This is called a sacrifice, to bring closer the remote and opposite things from the Creator, the 613 degrees that we have, which are all egoistic. We correct these desires so they work in order to bestow towards loving others. It's called performing 613 mitzvot, commandments, meaning changes in our egos, where instead of love of others, hate of others, there's love of others. And this is called performing 613 actions, corrections, or mitzvot, commandments. And every time we distinguish a bad desire in us and correct it to be in order to bestow, it's called making a sacrifice, bringing it closer, and through it becoming closer to the Creator. Yes. So when he walked out of the ark, Noah was given strength. Yes, the quality of bestowal that was small. Now this quality is more powerful, and it can make sacrifices, meaning to take a few more qualities, bad qualities, the way they were initially, correct them, and through that gradually rise a little higher in the spiritual world, meaning unveil a little more of the spiritual world, because to the extent that I correct my desires in them, I see and I feel the spiritual world. Yes. And these are the presents that he gave her. It is in order to make her husband grow fond of her. From here we learn the way of the land for the guest. In other words, the proper conduct for a guest, to give presents to the landlady of the hostel when he leaves. Hence, once he gave the presents, in order for her husband to grow fond of her, she blessed him, as it is written, and God blessed Noah. And because of that, it is written, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Meaning now he can add to Malchut, the landlady, he can add a few more of his desires to Malchut, to elevate them from Bia, corrupted desires, desires after the breaking, after the sin of Adam HaRishon that each of us has, to elevate them to Malchut Atzilut, as he calls it here, the landlady of the hostel. And with these gifts to kind of purchase her, buy her, because by that we achieve dvikut, adhesion with the Creator. In that hostel, the Malchut Atzilut is called the Assembly of Israel, Shechina, Divinity, etc. Item Reishnun Aleph. And sadness adds nothing thereto. This is the meaning of the verse. In sadness shall you eat of it. Sadness means, well, sadness. And anger without illumination of the face. It is when the moon is darkened and the blessings are absent. In sadness means the side of the other spirit of the klipot, which prevents the blessings from the world, since it makes people sin. It is written about that sadness adds nothing thereto. And this is the meaning of what is written, I will not again curse the ground anymore. Because sadness means the grip of the Sitra Achra, which brings curse to the world. It turns out that when he does not add sadness with her, he does not again curse, because they are the same. Meaning, by adding his corrected qualities to her, he actually comes into perfection and into peace with her. Yes, please.
No.
Yes. Yes. The Zohar speaks only of our internality and nothing else. Rav asks why. Because if you correct your internality, by that you control everything else. There is no externality. You also saw in your own history and the history of the world, of reality, of all the generations, that we can't change anything for the better by acting in the world. The Zohar explains to us how we can really make a change for the better in our day-to-day life and in general, forever. It gives you a way to touch powers that are the ones that really act in reality. And now, from generation to generation, you always try to do good, and it always turns out the other way around. So all the preparations you're talking about, surrounding light, direct light, field, all of that, the Creator, it's all in me. It's all in you, and that's the mechanism, the system by which you can control everything. Reality, well, it doesn't matter if it's inside or outside of you. Now, you're gradually been given a chance to know the system of guidance and providence by which you activate the things that really change your life, your destiny, your life and death, really. So I need to only bring my effort. And it's a very simple effort. And everyone's willing for it, is capable of it. You don't need to be smart. You don't need anything. Just like a newborn baby, and it grows. One a little more, one a little less. But everyone exists in this life. It's the same here. In the corporeal world, when I come to a carpentry, I also bring only my effort. I got the wood, the machinery, everything. But the boss told me, build a table. I know where to go. In spirituality, when you're telling me to build a table, you're in the carpentry already. What? You're all here already. We'll turn you into a table. Don't worry. Don't worry. You're in the right place. Our problem is to explain to the people in the world that we really need, that they have to come to us. But in the end, the rest is in this book. Regrettably, I'm given a sign that we have to conclude. So we'll continue. All the best to everyone, and let's remain with the Zohar for all time. And now we'll hear a song from Arkady Duchin's new album, song number 6, The Tip.
עד שכל כך נזדקק כבר לתקנו עד שממש כבר לא נוכל לשבת בתוכו רק שנכיר את כל הרע שמתבייש אל מול האור רק שנרגיש שכל שינוי צורה כבר לא יביא לשום דבר שטוב נבין שאי אפשר לבד רק ביחד כשנכיר את כל הרע שמתבייש אל מול האור רק שנרגיש שכל שינוי צורה כבר לא יביא לשום דבר שטוב נבין שאי אפשר לבד רק ביחד